Grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the first three verses of our reading from Hebrews 12. I read them again. And for you students of homiletics, please note here is one text that falls into division. That is, verse 1 is your first section, verse 2 the second, and the third verse the third. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I suppose we always have the deep-seated desire to look for the exotic sins that might plague the ministry. What hidden snare out there, as I prepare for his divine calling, seeks to offset me or entrap me, both in my life of a believer and as a servant of the Most High? Now, with a few years in the ministry, I would like to tell you about those secret sins out there. But they are not secret. They are here with us today. They are not exotic. And the ones that do most damage to the ministry and to our faith are just the ordinary, common, garden kind. Of the seven deadly sins in the Middle Ages, of the seven, I do not pick lust or greed or one of those to be the big entrapper of the ministry and of the faithful, but I always pick the one in Latin, that's dia sloth. The text divides itself, you see, beautifully for our purpose this day as we consider the sin of sloth. Or if we put it positively in the theme of our text, run the race of faith and ministry with zest and zeal. First, we consider the course as it is laid out before us in the first verse. As we look to the grandstand, the whole track, therefore, the writer presents to us, on the basis of what has been said in chapter 11 of Rahab and Samson and David and Samuel and the prophet, all of them. Think of their lives and their service and their faith. On this basis, I appeal to you who pick up their cloak and carry on, both in faith and service, being surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses. As we page through Scripture and see what they have done and been, not only for themselves, but for God, but for us. Then what? Let us lay aside every weight. The runner of the course drifts down to the bare essentials, and in some cases in ancient Greece, an ode to the bear, to run the race, so there would be no encumbrance. Every weight, if you will run the race of faith and ministry, lay aside every weight. No reference here in this particular one to sin. Every weight, whatever it may be, at nothing hinder running, but also the sin which so easily besets upon us, And today I would like to speak on that one sloth. The one that drags down our feet with tiredness and weariness. So there is no joy, there is no effort, there is no sense of victory in our running of the race, but only that heavy sense of divine obligation. I have to. That's a sin, as any exotic sin. To live in his faith, to be called into his service and to drag through it because I have to. Let us run the race set before us. Student, professor, pastor, husband, wife, child. Not your race. You are not out there with a tape measure setting up the course. The race set before you by the one who sets all the races of life. That's the course you run. Not with jealous desires for some other race course. I don't want to run this one today. I want another one. But the one he has set before you, that's the one that you run. And it doesn't make any difference, don't you see? Whether the track is muddy or hard or gravelly or sandy or icy or snowy, whatever it is, you run it. Because it's his course and his race, and you have been privileged to run it. How do you run it? Why, with perseverance. That's what the man said. No looking back, no wishing and druthers, but the gritting of the teeth, the set of the mind, the whole attitude of life, knowing for whom we run the race of faith and service and ministry. Perseverance. Stopping the sniveling and the whining and the griping and the complaining and the bitterness in our mouths. Sadness in our hearts and a disappointment in our goals. You see, that's because, second part of sermon, we don't keep our eyes where they belong. We're watching other goals and other places and other desires. Looking to Jesus. Looking solely to him and to no other. We are myopic. We intend to be. We only have one focus and one vision. You're looking at it right now. Keep the eyes on Jesus Christ. It is the faith which we profess and into which the Holy Ghost has placed us in our baptism. We know no other goal, no other power. We are called by him to run the race of faith. And our eyes are on him and him alone. Consider him, the text says. What does the verb mean, consider him? Why, he is not simply a banner or a symbol we hold up and everybody see it, follow me. Consider him. as you prepare to run the course. Mull him over. Taste his goodness and his blessings and his grace. Consider the one who is both God and man, who so loved us he deigned to become flesh for us and to become one with us and to identify with us in the race. For he ran the race before us. He ran the course. And his running of the course was victorious for us. He bore everything for us. He ran in my track shoes, if you will, in the analogy. The race has already been won for us in him and his life. Every demand, every rule, every desire on the part of the Father has been fulfilled in that runner, that pioneer. Why, the race has already been run and won. He endured the cross. He endured the cross. Why did he endure the cross? For us, that he might bear the burden of our guilt, that he might take upon his life our sin and our judgment, our debt and our condemnation. That he, God's Son, might bear it all for us. He endured all that so that he might free us forever from the burden of death and sin and guilt and judgment. So that hell itself might be done away. And it was for the race that he ran, he won for us. Now he sets before us a race. He would remind us that he despised the shame. And he is now at the right hand of the Father in all glory, to hold before us the victory that he has run and won for us. And there you have the one who has led us to run the race. But then you see, we want to see how we are going to run the race. We've talked about the race, the pioneer, the runner, if you want to carry through, I suppose, the analogy, the coach. But now let us see what God says to us in this marvelous text about how we run the race. What does he tell us? We look to Jesus. We look to Jesus. Our faith, our trust. We understand as we look at these words that we do not, you see, be wearied. We are not overcome with sloth. We are not to drag through the day, through the quarter, through the year. That's no runner. But we are called by this text not to be weary, not to be tired, but we are to run the race set before us. And this race, of course, that we run, we are to run with the anticipation of victory, not that we're going to lose. Sloth, then, is what is spoken of here. And we must put it aside and run the race. We are called to run it, not to lose heart. We are called to fight the faith, if you will, from another picture. And we are called to obtain the crown of righteousness from another picture. We're called to run, to be alive and alert in Jesus Christ, to put aside the whimpering and the whining and the complaining, to put aside the fears and the discouragement. We're to look up to Him who ran the race, who ran it and won it for us, so that our steps as ministers of Jesus Christ might track His step by step, stride by stride, mile by mile, week by week, year by year, life by life. So we run the race that He set before us, not that we set, not a course we laid out, but the one that He set and He ran for us, so that you might follow Him and run well. Run, run, run. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Amen.